up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Camila Cabello, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Yes!
I'm so excited.
I am so happy you're here. To anyone in the Daddy Gang that is listening to this and not watching.
The Daddy Gang.
Do you want to say hi?
Oh my God, yes. Oh. Hello, Daddy Gang. I love the community aspect of it.
Would you consider your sister Daddy Gang?
Oh, 100%.
Okay, that makes
my
me feel cozy.
My sister is Daddy Gang, for sure.
I love how, can I say, your mom walked in here and she was like, don't worry, I'm not going to be listening.
Because I know, because I could just intuit, like, I could read your energy that you were like, oh, her mom is here.
I'm like, what that do I have in here that's sexual? Yeah. I'm like, just close your ears and pretend this isn't happening. To anyone that's listening, Camila walked in here and she has platinum blonde hair.
I know.
How did you decide to do this?
You know, I felt like I needed a big physical change because I feel like, I don't know, my dark hair has been with me for all of my life. I feel like it was just like a big part of how the public saw me, the world saw me, how I saw myself. And I feel like it's just been a year of like, the theme has very much been like play and transformation and changing and being brave. But I feel like also the music is so different, like the world is so different that, I don't know, for so many reasons, I was like, I feel like a physical change needs to like accompany that.
Yeah.
And then I tried on a few different wigs.
I was going to ask, because I was talking to someone like, would I ever change my hair color? I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I would, but I would do wigs before you just go for it.
I definitely think you need to do wigs because it's such a big change. But I do feel like everybody should do it. I mean, not everybody should do it, but it's like a fun, like, I don't know, it brings out a different part of your personality. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like a YOLO, like, I don't know, just like,
fuck it.
Is it okay if I take,
please?
Should I take a sip?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Wait, cheers.
Cheers.
We're drinking wine.
Okay.
Everybody?
I need a little bit of wine because we were talking about, I don't really do stuff like this. So I definitely was like a little nervous, but I'm really excited for like my fans. I feel like they like haven't seen me be a person in a while.
Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
I'm going to look over and Camila's going to be chugging the entire thing. Like, yeah, what? Wait, slow down. No.
Yeah, it's 1 p.m.
Yes. For context, it's 1 in the afternoon and the sun is out and we're drinking wine.
But so honestly, I haven't drank in a second. I've been working so much. I feel like I kind of deserve, you've had a really busy schedule too, you told me yesterday.
I was doing meetings with foils in my head. No, like, what are we doing?
We deserve this.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. Do you ever find yourself looking at your full wardrobe, but still feeling like you got nothing to wear? Well, gather around, Daddy Gang. Saks.com. You're going to find instant inspiration for that date night, for that impromptu vacation, okay? Maybe you need a new dress because one of your friends is getting married soon, okay? So if you're looking for a new style or want to build a better relationship with your closet, then head to Saks.com to shop for everything on your agenda. This episode is brought to you by Azo Vaginal Health Products. Most women will experience a yeast infection during their lifetime. But it is time to stop giving women's health the silent treatment. I think sometimes we get so anxious, we don't want to deal with it. Well, actually, yeast infections, you're like, I actually have to deal with this. I literally am so fucking itchy right now. That is what Azo products are for. They have an entire line of products designed to help balance your vaginal pH and protect your vaginal health. Azo Complete Feminine Balance helps restore the balance of good bacteria and for protection from yeast and urinary tract issues. Try Azo Dual Protection. Azo, care that goes there. Daddy Gang, you can save 20% with the promo code PODCAST at azoproducts.com. That's azoproducts.com. This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life. And I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them. So I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required.
That's what I get excited about for these type of interviews, that you haven't done something like this in a while.
No, and years, I feel like.
And I think it's important, though, to sometimes like step back. Like, why do you think you haven't done something in a while?
I think it was just, I needed to kind of protect myself from, I actually wouldn't even say protect myself. I think I needed to just be a human being. I needed to be a person. I needed to kind of step away from being a public persona and just work on myself from the inside out, as opposed to like the outside in. I mean, I've been in the public eye since I was 15 years old. So I feel like so much of, especially the first maybe 7 or 8 years, I was like kind of figuring myself out at the same time as like trying to process and take in what other people thought. Even if I'm not necessarily reading it directly, you just kind of subconsciously are trying to figure out what to do with all of that. So I don't know. I think I needed some time and some space to be like, who am I? What's important to me? What are, not only what are my values in that sense, but also like, what are my hobbies? What do I like to do? What's my taste in art? What kind of people do I like hanging out with? What kind of people do I not like hanging out with? And I feel like that's kind of the journey I've been on for the past few years. And it's been really like, it's been really nice and healthy for me. I feel like I really kind of needed to do that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you growing up for a second. Okay.
You're like, cheers.
Cheers again.
My
cheers
God. Again. To exploring childhood.
We're going to go through all the eras.
Yeah. The origin myth.
Okay. Born in Cuba.
Yeah.
You move to Miami when you're like 7.
Yeah. How it's so funny because I always say 6 or 7. My mom is like, you have to like pick an age.
Right. Like, which was it?
Yeah. I moved when I was 6 or 7. And when I was 6 or 7, it's like, I always say that.
So 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Camila moves to Miami. Can you tell me, like, how did your parents explain to you that you were moving?
My mom told me we were going to Disney World.
Oh.
As immigrant parents do. They lie to protect us. I love my mom so much. She's not watching, so I don't have to worry about hurting her feelings on that one.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Mom. But yeah, she told me we were going to Disney World, and I was really excited until maybe a couple months passed, and I was like, wait a second. I'm still here, and there's no Disney World. And yeah, it's funny. Like, I really empathize with that, you know, that age, that version of me, because I can imagine that it's probably informed some parts of my personality, in the sense that like one day I had like all my cousins and all my family around, and the next day, not to like whatever, like a pity sob story or whatever, but you know, one day they were there, and then the next day I was kind of like, oh, where is everybody? I actually had this song that I wrote that didn't end up making it into the album, but like so many empty chairs for like Christmas dinner or whatever. It was like some like lyric like that. But I think that's such a like visceral image that I can remember. It's like a lot of noise. And then it was like just me and my mom.
Why did you guys move?
I think it was just the situation in Cuba was getting more and more difficult, like lack of, there was just like such a ceiling, like as far as like, you know, my mom was an architect, and even if you had a good job, there was just like such, there was like not a lot of resources, like even like food, medicine, education. Like, I don't think a lot of people know, like the situation there is like really, it's pretty tough, especially right now. Like there's not a lot of food. I have family members that have come even like a month ago that are still coming, and you know, they see like the food that we have, like, in, you know, in the pantry. And they're like, we're just, like, not used to this. And I think that's, like, what's amazing, too, about Miami and the community there is, like, I think because everybody has those common, like, start from nothing thing, like, it really is, like, hey, like, if you don't have a job, like, I've got this uncle, I got this cousin, like, you come work for me. You don't know how to do this. Well, it's fine. I'll teach you, whatever. And everybody's just kind of, like,
helping each other.
Helping each other and also just, like, helping each other improvise. And we're constantly, like, trying to, like, bring our family over. So
I think even when you were saying the, like, six or seven age, I think at that
time. The new age, six or seven.
Yeah, new age, one word. Six or seven.
I came when I was six or seven.
When you were six or seven, I'm thinking about you moving to, having to go to a new school, moving to a new country, probably not completely speaking English.
Oh, no, not at all.
At all. How did how did you make friends? Like, what was school like?
I really made friends. It's crazy to think about, like, in hindsight, I made my best friends through music always. Oh. I was always like, you know, my first friend that I made, her name was Giselle, and we lived in like an apartment complex. She lived in the same complex as me. And we bonded over like the Cheetah Girls. Oh. I wanted to be them so bad. And I loved, like, you know, Cinderella, like that. It's actually crazy how much I am realizing a lot of these things came to be in my life.
Say you manifested this
I know.
Bitch.
I really manifested the shit out of, like, my fucking life.
Then you were Cinderella.
Yeah, I know. And I was in a girl group. But anyway, so, like, we would, you know, like, I would bring the CD or whatever, and we would, like, just dance to it and pretend like we were in a girl group. And then, like, you know, when I was in elementary school, it was like we would pretend to be on American Idol. Fuck, I manifested that shit too, I guess, I'm realizing. And then we were like, I made a like mini girl group with my friends, and we were called Lion Girls, Queens of the Jungle, because I love the Cheetah Girls. That's not like, that's not a like musician flex.
But it's a huge
like,
flex.
That's a really good name.
I'm like, God damn. What did you sound like back then?
And I remember like this one friend that I had, like my best friend, we would like, I remember during the summers, we would like, we would be on the phone and we would like just be singing on the phone. Like, oh my God, I did like this, that riff sounds so good. Like everything was honestly really tied to music.
So you knew from a young age that you like loved performing.
I wouldn't even say performing because I was really, really shy. I was like almost, it was like really reserved for my friends. And I remember my friends even say now, they're like, remember when we used to be like, sing, because I don't know if that was a thing for when it was your age, but I feel like anybody who was like had like a good voice in school, it was like,
it was kind of like
sing.
And at the time it was like, it was in such a, like, good faith that people were trying to, but meanwhile
so
the person that is gonna have to sing feels like, fuck all of you, I don't want to sing. So if I was to ask any of the kids that went to your school that weren't your friends, like, okay, Camila at 15 years old is going to become a huge pop star, famous. What do you think they would have said?
There were people that were like, I didn't even know that like she sang.
Stop.
Because I was just, I went through different phases. Like I think there was with some people that I was really funny and class clowny and whatever. And then for most people, I was really shy.
Shy. Okay, let's talk about X Factor. So I'm reading online and I'm like, wait, is this true? I'm like, you said that you went on X Factor first to just meet One Direction.
This is true. I mean,
tell me the plan. Like, what was the plan going in there?
I mean, honestly, I was a huge, I don't know if I'm curious if you were too, but I was like, you know, like I was like such a big pop culture fan. Like,
yes.
Since I was young, and my friends and I really bonded over that. Like, we didn't love fucking One Direction. We loved One Direction. Yeah, we loved One Direction.
We wanted to fuck One Direction.
I mean, at that age, we just wanted, I wanted to just kiss them, anything. But yeah, even if at an early age I wasn't like, I want to be a singer, because I think it just wasn't even a thing that I thought of. Like, it was like, bitch, how? Like,
right.
You know, like
how will this be a career?
Yeah. Like, I don't have anybody that knows anybody. I'm like in Miami, like nobody fucking, the most that we had was, I don't know if you remember, like when that, like, person would come on the radio and be like, auditions for Nickelodeon.
Yes.
Do you want to be the next Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber? And all my friends and I would be like, yes!
And it's like, there's no way, bitch. Like, everyone sit down. I just so you know, I was one of those girls too, being like, yes!
Did you audition?
No, I couldn't.
All of my
sing.
Friends and I auditioned, and they were like, "You are amazing. You're only gonna have to pay $15,000 to go to this acting school." And my mom was like, "Yeah,
bye.
Yeah, scam." But that was like, in hindsight, it was always the center of my life was music and singing and writing and whatever. It was always like my obsession. And I think like One Direction or pop culture was like an extension of that in a different way, in a more probably hormonal, crushy way. But
relatable.
But I really was like, I need to audition to X Factor and I need to do whatever it takes to make it to at least the point where I meet Harry. Really, all of them, but like
Harry.
But really Harry. So...
Yeah. Poor everyone else. It was always Harry. Then like Zayn really popped off, and like I met him in person. Great guy. Like I was like, oh, okay. Like
no, and Niall is so lovely too. He's like amazing. It's just
Harry. It's Harry.
I was like, I really, really. He was an inspiring muse for me at 15.
When you talk about a guy when you're younger that you were obsessed with, like it does
sickness.
It brings you back. Like I kind of had that with Justin Bieber where you're like,
oh, I was also obsessed with Justin
Bieber. And I'm like, I want to be the one less lonely girl. Like, shut up, Alex.
It's crazy,
like,
how delusional you are at that age.
You like, believe.
No, you believe that you're meant to fall in love, that they don't know that you are the girl for them. Like, they don't know it. But once they do, there will be no stopping that train. It's crazy how delusional you are.
Did
at that
you
age.
Ever do this? Like, I remember I'd be at concerts and I'm like, if he just locks
eyes. Oh, no, me too. Me too. I'd be like, I would. I remember like going to the concert being like, I have to look incredible. Because for some reason, I thought me at 15 years old with like my like insanely terrible like side bang. And like, you know, like that he would lock eye and then he would know for some reason. It's crazy. I still have some of that delusion left in me now.
I think it's good delusion though, right?
It's fun. It keeps things spicy.
It does. On your toes, you know?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Just like wanting things you can't have.
No, delusion is a necessary ingredient, I think, to like my happiness. But I definitely had way more at 15. I definitely was like, once he sees me. He's dumping Kendall Jenner. Like, so he will know.
He won't even know what hit him. When our eyes lock, it's like game over, baby. Wifey, okay?
And then I look pictures of myself at that age, and I'm like, oh, my God. Sweetie. Like, I look like such a baby. Like,
it was never going to happen.
Never going
to
happen.
But you join Fifth Harmony. And obviously, you don't join One Direction, although you probably wanted to be, like, the one girl in the group.
But I joined the what felt to me, like, at that time. Like, I was like, oh, my God.
Yes.
This is happening to me now.
God, no, that's actually so crazy. Like, you were becoming, like, the female version of the new One Direction.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I remember when we were at X Factor and they started, like, calling our names up, I was like, I know this fucking story. I have seen it.
Obviously, there was a lot of drama when you walked away from the group.
Yeah.
And now that, like, time has passed and you look back at everything, like, how do you feel about how everything went down?
I feel like I'm, like, can really... focus on and remember the really joyful times. And, you know, I grew a lot in that group. And I remember waking up on tour and going to my hotel room at like 7 a.m. and going to my garage band and like writing songs because I didn't want to like, you know, do it while everybody was there. And I just like I had such a passion for that turned into writing. And at first I was like, oh, maybe like I want to write for other people. But then it turned into like, no, actually, like I want to sing these songs by myself. And I started just like distancing myself from, I feel like, the group vision. And it felt like, you know, they were still like really passionate and into that. And so I just was like, I'm not happy here anymore. Like it doesn't feel aligned. You know?
I think also like that's so okay. And I think there's two parts of it. One, people can look back and be heartbroken that something breaks up. So understandable, similar to One Direction.
Of course it is like, oh my God. Yeah,
but
it is.
It's kind of necessary to grow.
It's like any breakup. Like, yeah, it sucks.
Yes. Which we're going to get into. Okay. So I'm thinking back, you joined this group at 15 and I'm thinking about like you were in it for 4 years. That's basically like a high school experience. Like,
oh my God. Like, yes, it is.
Crazy. You're a celebrity at such a young age. You're touring. You're busy. Did you have time to date? How did you meet guys? What was the vibe?
When I was 15 to 19, it was like guys that, you know, maybe like not a lot, like a few. Mm-hmm. A few And it was very like we saw each other maybe once or twice a year. I really started dating and whatever, like probably when I was like 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
because before that, it was just like the group was like all encompassing. That was your relationship. That was my relationship. Yeah.
I feel like everyone remembers their first love. I remember mine. I feel like you can kind of never be the same after it because it teaches you so much. And it is, you experience so many firsts with this person. What comes to your mind when you think of like
my first love? My first love was, I feel like I've had a few, maybe a couple great loves.
Okay.
How about you?
I think I've had a couple as well. Yeah. I think it's interesting because now that I'm engaged, I look back on it and
I like that wasn't.
Well, it's interesting. It's like it's different. And I talk about this with Matt all the time. And I'm so happy that we have a healthy enough relationship to talk about exes and not be like insecure about it, which I used to. I would have been insecure in past relationships to talk about exes. But when I think about being in love, I definitely can pinpoint like the first person I was in love with that I met when I was like 16, and it was just this like all-encompassing.
Oh god,
just,
yeah,
like,
me too.
Wrecks you.
Me too. And 17 was probably my first.
Yep.
Like really in love. I don't know. It's like there's so many different connotations to in love though, because sometimes it's like who was I happiest with, mm-hmm. or who made me the most devastated, and sometimes it's like God, what even is the right definition of in love? Because there was you know one person that made me the happiest, and there was the other person that made me the most sick and crazy.
Right.
And I don't know what is the definition of like what's the most in love, you know?
It's a good point. It's like, I feel like when I look back, I agree with you. All of my loves are different.
Yeah.
But it's also just so fucking weird because you are so different. And I think of like what I was giving maybe in my first love, like I was definitely not someone bringing health and wellness to the relationship.
Oh
like,
my God.
It was like fighting and writing letters and like that, it was like that notebook type of love where it's like so fucking hard and devastating. You're just like, fuck my life. But when you leave those type of relationships, mm-hmm. I feel like it leaves the biggest lasting memory for a while because it was so hard and you fought so much and it was so loving but then difficult that like you can kind of romanticize it once you leave. Where the people that left you happy and if it was more stable, I have found it was easier to move on from just because I can like kind of put it in a corner of my brain and be like, that was so great, but I know it wasn't meant to be. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, totally, totally. I mean, I think like there is a part of me that still, it depends what mood I'm in. Sometimes I really want peace and happiness, and other times I still miss and love that chaotic, sickening feeling. And I don't know what that is. I have to explore it further in therapy, but there is something like so kind of like addictive about that. And you know, it's interesting because it's like, you know, it's like the classic like nervous system quote, like whatever. I mean, actually, I don't know why I said classic because it's not classic.
Classic. But it's relatable.
You know, that quote is like, find someone that's good for your nervous system.
Yes.
A lot of the times, the people that do make you feel fucking sick with love are not good for your nervous system.
But it's addictive.
But it feels so good and terrible at the same time.
Because when it's good, it's so fucking good. Because
when it's good, it's like, you could cut my leg off today. I will be smiling A-okay. All teeth, you know?
But when it's bad, and I think this is what's so interesting. When it is bad, and I think back to those type of relationships, there's something like that makes you feel even more romantic about it because it's like we're fighting, we're working, we're like
totally.
It's just, it is kind of convoluted, and there are some relationships that take a lot of work to then get to be good, or there are just a lot of relationships that just shouldn't fucking work, but we put so much into them because it is addicting.
And it really changes, I feel like, as you age. Like I feel like when I was younger, so many relationships were like my projection of people in my head.
Yes.
And I really romanticized the shit out of them. Mm-hmm. And I really took a little thing that they said and I just ran with that. Totally. You know? But now I find that it's like the people that you meet that are like really exciting and how you have real chemistry with, it's rare and hard to find.
It is so fucking hard to find. I find like the first couple hangouts, you will kind of be able to just gauge like if it's there. Because yeah. I'm not someone that's as much of like a slow burn type of person.
I am not a slow burn. And what sucks is that I hear that that's the healthiest thing. No. It's like I've heard podcasts or where people are like, if you kind of like this person and if you're curious, just go on a second date. And I'm just the kind of person that's like, if I am not like going to sleep, like wanting to have you inside me. Like, I get it. Honestly, that's extreme. Maybe not that. But if I don't leave the date and I'm like, wow, yes. It's really hard for me to have that slow burn approach. But I'm trying to be more like that. I think it's just...
I agree. I also just want to validate you because it's not extreme what you just said. I think when I've left first dates, you want to like... I know it sounds fucking crazy, but this is a girl's girl podcast, so everyone girl will get it. You leave and you can like literally quickly go through like picturing yourself in like positions with them and places... Well, not... Oh, well, positions no. physically
oh, right.
and like places yeah. in life and just like... kind of quickly the next year with them and you're like picturing like the next date and your sexual chemistry.
It's
and
disgusting.
You can kind of envision it. And then if I can't with someone, it's hard to go on the second date.
I know. I'm, but like, a lot busy. Of people say like you should. And you know, and
fuck the, us.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like, God damn it.
It's interesting. Okay. But
so you're single.
I love it.
You're
I single. Am. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is single Camila like?
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Daddy gang, what are your plans for the summer? I want to probably sign up for a couple excursions with mats, really put myself out there, do something I don't usually do. But when you want something, you got to just go for it. And that applies when you're hiring for your business. ZipRecruiter can help you snag the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter, Daddy Gang, and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/daddy to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/daddy. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. Do you ever find yourself looking at your full wardrobe, but still feeling like you got nothing to wear? Well, gather around, Daddy Gang. Saks.com. You're going to find instant inspiration for that date night, for that impromptu vacation, okay? Maybe you need a new dress because one of your friends is getting married soon, okay? So if you're looking for a new style or want to build a better relationship with your closet, then head to Saks.com to shop for everything on your agenda.
What is single Camila like?
Okay, I try to really prioritize that part of my life.
Okay.
Because it just makes me feel, it's just so fun.
Yeah.
I honestly love being single. I love it. Mm-hmm. But I've been in relationships for a lot of my, since I started dating, like mm-hmm. since I started dating when I was 20, I was in long-term relationships a lot. So it feels fun to just like get to know people yeah. and like talk and like see what happens.
Yeah, those it's beginning fun. Stages are like
beginning stage also my weakness because I love a beginning stage. It's so fun.
It's so good. It's I think why I had such a hard time getting into serious relationships for a while, because the thrill and the excitement and the unknown is so fun, and then
it's
once
so
it becomes like predictable, I used to be like bye.
But I feel that
when you get older again, like you start to realize there can be a balance.
And you start to realize there are other things that are important. Like you can go deeper and that's surprising. And you know, at the end of the day, it's like we're people that are I really believe like we're never just one person. We are constantly totally. Changing. Like Matt mm-hmm. could be a different person in 2 years, he will be a new person.
Yeah.
And so there's always something new.
Yeah, but, that's a good point.
But I do feel like I'm like, I think also because I was just in like a heavy like, you know, like writing process, writing stage. It's really experiences. I'm just like so hungry for experiences. Yeah. Like the more experiences.
The better.
The better.
Okay, so one experience you had recently that we all saw online was you were on a vacation with Drake.
Oh gosh. Well, you know what?
I have to ask. I can't not ask.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Have you guys ever been a thing?
Well, I wouldn't, first of all, I wouldn't say like straight up vacation.
Okay, okay, okay.
It was vacation plus some work.
Oh.
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 God. Oh, wait. The whole internet just broke.
So it was vacation plus some work. But I will say, you know what? Mm-hmm. I love that man. I love him.
Mm-hmm. We all love that man.
We all love him, mm-hmm. right?
The internet really loved him recently.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so have you ever had... Can we confirm or no?
Have I ever had what?
Like a little like thing with Drake.
A beautiful artistic collaboration with him?
Yes.
I may or may not have.
What is it like going on vacation with Drake?
Okay, first of all, we did not go on vacation.
Like the two
this
of
was
you.
Like this was like a homie, like friends trip.
Okay, okay,
okay. Okay, okay, so okay. Let me break this down.
Rewind.
Y'all,
rewind
okay.
Rewind.
So basically, Drake was a big love him.
Love him.
Love him as an artist for real.
Me too.
Love him as like, right?
Yes.
He's the best.
Yes.
Who the goat? I love him so much. And I really listened to him a lot during my writing process, during my album. Yep. And I really felt like he would like my album.
Love.
For real.
Confident. Fucking love it.
And so I DM'd him and I was like, hey, I really want to play. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put it out there.
That's fucking baller.
We gotta make shit happen.
You gotta make shit happen.
We gotta make shit happen. So I DM'd him and I was like, I would love to play you my album. I honestly feel like you would really love it because, you know, because I listen to him a lot and I just feel like I really do feel like musically in a lot of ways we like the same things.
Yep.
And I feel, yeah. So we hung out. I played him my album.
What'd he say?
He loved it.
Okay.
And I thought that he would, mm-hmm. and I was like so excited. It was also such a surreal moment for me to like play Drake my songs and like,
dude,
you know, that's another one of those things that you're just like, wow, I would have never expected.
It's like
that this would happen.
A dream.
It's a dream.
Like, are
it's
you?
A dream. I remember being there and being like, wow, this is like so fucking sick.
Right.
And he's so generous and so kind. And but anyway, so. I didn't like just go on vacation with him. It was like a vacation, like work thing. But honestly, I will say I love him. And I'm that has been such a fun part about this whole experience. Like this has been the most, it's been a really insular process in terms of like me taking it back to basics in terms of like me like really focusing on like, you know, my craft of writing or whatever. But at the same time, literally I could chug this whole thing right now of like huge toast. To that. And let's he's amazing little, and I love him.
Let's do a toast to Drake.
Toast to Drake. To Champagne Poppy.
God bless. Yeah, we all love you.
God bless. We really do love you. I love
Dude.
You.
Okay, so you are single. So what is the approach to dating? Are you looking for something serious? Are you going on dates? Like what is happening?
As far as looking for something serious, I don't know. I have phases. Like maybe like 2 weeks ago, I'm like, oh my God, like I want to really have something real with someone. I'm ready. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for something real again. And then I am like, you know, talking and like meeting someone new and I'm like, oh my God, I love this. This is so fun. I don't want anything serious right now. So it really is like, it's different phases. I really think I'm like, there's so much going on right now mm-hmm. that if it was somebody serious, I would really have to connect with them on a really deep level, which I always hope it is. I'm a hopeless romantic at heart. Like, I love my fun, but I'm a hopeless romantic for sure. And I literally, if I have, like, a great kiss with somebody, I'm like, I would die for you.
Right. Like, we're in love.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Are you someone that will have a roster? Like, what's the situation? Are you good at handling multiple men at once?
I do like a little bit. Not too much, mm-hmm. but just a little bit of, like, a... You know, there's like maybe a few vibes.
Yes.
There's a few vibes. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think there's a different level of like, for some people, roster is like, the intimacy is like maybe sleeping with all of them. Mm-hmm. That's too much for me. It's more kind of like vibes and talking, hanging out, whatever. Yeah. But I can't be serious, at least at this point, with more than one person.
I completely agree. I feel like when you're in the single stage, it's helpful to kind of just like pick around and just kind of like keep a couple people in the arena just to be like, yeah.
That's where I am. Like, what's your vibe? Yeah. What's your vibe?
Right. And then like once one kind of drops off, you can pick up a new one.
Yeah.
But it's fun. And I
think my new favorite.
Yes. Yeah. And I think as busy as you are, I get that. It's like, unless the person is going to be like, holy fucking shit, this is like
if you're
late night till 3 a.m. you're fucking talking.
Exactly. If it's late night till 3 a.m. and we have this insane connection and I'm like, oh, you're like, it's giving father of my children vibe. Like, I will fly anywhere. You like, would you come, like, whatever. Then I will do that. But if it's like, I liked him and he was cute and that was cute, then it's like, I'll see you when I see you.
Wait, have you ever flown a guy somewhere?
Only in like relationships vibes. Okay. No. I mean, I haven't like flown them.
Got it.
They fly
not
to
the front of the
plane. Yeah, I haven't piloted them to my hotel room. But I mean, like, they have flown to me.
Yes.
But I haven't been like, let me just get you a flight. Yeah, I'm not
daddy
a
daddy energy. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
What gives you the ick?
To be honest, one of the things that would give me the ick is I don't really want to be like with a guy, like, I don't want to be like on my daddy shit.
Have a little bit of like that, like, masculine energy, kind of take control, especially because you're in control all fucking day with your career,
and that's a big psychological thing. Do you feel like that too?
I was gonna say, like, I want for sure respect, but if I'm like, I am literally running the ship
same, like, if I'm making decisions all day and I have to be like on my fucking like whatever
daddy shit,
unironic daddy boss girl shit, you better come correct when it's time. And let me just not think about anything. Like, I want you to, like, fuck. I want to let go and surrender.
Right. What is your philosophy around ghosting? Are we ghosting people? Are we not?
No, I don't like that. I mean, I actually had a conversation with my friends the other day because I went on a date with this guy.
Okay.
One date.
How'd it go?
Not great.
Okay.
I didn't like it. Okay. And I went on a date with this guy and I asked he was, like, texting me. And I asked my friends, I was like, hey, guys, if I don't answer, is this ghosting?
Do you go out in public with this person? Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay. And so.
But they're not like.
Right.
He wasn't famous.
Right. Why did it not go well?
It was just so boring.
Like, there was no spark.
No. I was like. I was thinking about.
Every other ex.
Yeah. Like, I was
that
just
can't
not.
Happen. Thinking. That's the fucking worst when you're like.
Or just the number one on the roster.
Oh. You're like, he's looking real good right now.
Like, you're like, I'm just thinking about number one. And
you're like, get out. Just leave.
Yeah.
So, but you went through the whole fucking date.
I honestly, this is actually crazy. So I was hiding my hair.
Were you wearing like a beanie?
I was wearing a black wig and.
No, did.
I was just like, my head really hurts.
Camila. You said that you had like a headache. Yeah. Did he know you were wearing a wig?
I told him. Yeah.
You're like, babe, the wig's really pulling. I gotta go. Yeah,
I was like, I gotta go.
What did he say?
He was like, yeah, of course, let's go.
You're like, no, but like alone.
Yeah, I feel bad. I really hope he doesn't see this.
He won't. There's no way.
I don't think he'll see this.
But the thing is this. Sometimes in life, you gotta just feel the vibes.
And you know what? Let me rephrase this just in case.
Yeah, just in case. Just in case.
It wasn't that it was boring. I just was like, my just heart wasn't
in it. I think that's okay.
My heart was with someone else.
Listen, I think that's fine to say. And I think we, especially as women, need to get more comfortable, because how many fucking times are men like, nah, she ain't hot enough, or like, nah, she's not that. You just didn't vibe
with it.
That doesn't mean he's not an amazing person.
It wasn't a fit. But I am sensitive about ghosting, because I feel like you have to be kind to people. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't text him back because I was like, I don't know. Honestly, if somebody were to say right now, hey, and my friend actually, they gave me good advice. They were like, don't text him back. If he keeps texting you,
Then
say, hey, honestly, it really wasn't a fit, but it was so nice to meet you. Wish you well. But he didn't keep texting. So I was like, I'll leave it. But if things had gone on like further, then I'm not a fan of the ghosting thing. I just feel like it's like, why hurt people? Just be nice. Don't lead them on.
I agree.
Let's just, you know.
And I also, just to clarify for your own conscience as we're drinking our wine, that's not ghosting.
I don't think so either.
Right? He sent you one text. You didn't respond. And I kind of love a guy that's self-aware enough to be like,
just got it.
Checked
100%.
It. Like, she's
and
not
also
into
it's
it.
Like, it's one date.
Right. Like, yeah. Like, we didn't like have
exactly
3 months together.
100%. And that's crazy. Yeah. When people do that, if I was with somebody.
No.
And they ghosted me after we were intimate or after we whatever, I would be like, you're just like, that's a very unkind thing to do. And I wouldn't want to be with somebody like that anyway.
What is the biggest red flag that you've ever willingly ignored?
So many. I mean, right? Like,
so many.
I don't know. You start. Give me an
idea. I would say, like, I think when I look back at past relationships, something that comes up for me is like feeling insecure around him.
Ugh.
Like,
big.
Should never feel like, oh my God, I don't want him to see me in the morning if I have like a breakout, or like do I look good enough for this date, or like if I'm on the date, is he looking at other women? Like, when you're with the right person, you would never think that way. And I think that is something I would ignore in this one relationship I had, where I was constantly feeling like I wasn't good enough. And it's like, why? Like, I am.
Yeah, I think that's a big red flag, is like how you feel. Like, that's just such a big temperature check in relationships. Like, I've been in relationships before where I'm like, if I am miserable for this long, there is just something off. And every time I've been like, it's me. Oh my God. It's my, what is it? What am I? Oh my God. Blah, blah, blah. But it's like, a lot of the times it's like, it's just not right.
I agree.
It's not right. It's like, if I feel so much better when I'm not with you, and then when I'm with you, I feel miserable and overthinking and anxious every time, then we are just not right. And then I think you kind of keep going because you have this like hope or some ideal of what the relationship is. We can work on it. We can this, we can that. And it's like, sometimes it's like you have to temperature check. Like,
yeah, just like, it's not right.
It's not right.
Have you ever been cheated on?
I'm lucky to say I have not been cheated on.
It's amazing.
I know.
That's amazing.
Maybe I really don't think this counts, but I was like 17 talking to a guy, but I don't think that counts.
Have you ever had someone go through your phone?
Oof.
That's a yes. How did you see them checking it?
I had deleted some texts.
Right.
And they were like, why did you delete this text message history?
Got it.
With another person. And I was like, my phone deletes things.
No.
Like, I was like young and.
You were being a little shady.
I was being a little shady.
And then they caught you. Mm-hmm. But that's where it's so fucked, because you're like, who's in the wrong? And then it's like the meme of Spider-Man where it's like.
I was definitely in the wrong.
Okay, for sure. I love that. My phone deletes things.
I'm terrible. Bullshit.
That's such a bad lie. It's amazing.
I was like, I've never been, to this day, I don't think I've ever been so scared in my life.
Right. You're like.
I was like,
Apple.
My phone just like, I deletes messages, like whole complete message. I don't know.
It's crazy.
But I honestly, I broke up with him literally 3 days after
that. Okay, that's good.
But you know, shit happens. Life happens.
It happens. Okay, we're going to play rapid fire. If you had to trade lives with any celebrity, who would it be?
I honestly would say no one.
Really?
I like my life.
Love.
What about you?
I don't know why this just came up for me. I don't know if it's the wine.
Yeah, go.
But I was going to say, like, maybe like Meryl Streep.
Interesting.
I think I would.
I mean, it would be amazing to be like one of the best actresses in the fucking world.
I think it's more because I think if I had to pick a celebrity, I would want someone that's like not in the public eye and like chooses to not. She's never being paparazzi'd. She's never. Meryl Streep. Okay, we're moving on.
No, that's a good one.
Okay. Have you ever had to lie to your friends about a guy you were seeing?
Yeah. Oh my God. All the time. Like, not all the time, but like, I love this TikTok that I see. It's like your friend is like, you like show them like a terrible text and it's like, and what did you respond to him? And you're like, like, when my friends are always like, my friends are cold as fuck. Cold hearted.
Those are good friends sometimes.
They're like,
though.
Dude, how could you text him back? Don't text him. don't do that emoji. Don't. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know you guys were mean.
Fuck.
But they're very, but it's good.
They're keeping you in line.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause I'm like the opposite. I'm like, I'm a dumbass.
I get it. I get it.
I'm an idiot.
I was just going with it.
Yeah.
What is your biggest insecurity?
Ugh. My biggest insecurity, like internal, external, whatever.
Whatever.
This is probably the wine too. Mm-hmm. And I saw this Jodie Foster like interview. Mm-hmm. Like I was reading it yesterday. Congrats on your New York Times article, by the way.
Thank you. Oh my God, thank you.
I didn't read it because I didn't want to make myself nervous before the interview. But I love the New York Times. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, there she is.
But I saw this one New York Times or New York or whatever, like Jodie Foster interview. And she was like, for somebody who values privacy so much, I really want to be understood.
Mm.
And that really resonated with me. I feel like my insecurity is like, I don't know, some like childhood thing of like being like, I don't care if people get me. I don't care if people, whatever. I'm just going to be myself. But at the same time, really wanting people to understand me and you not dislike me or whatever. So I don't really know. I think it's like a general insecurity of like probably like being seen and then not loved or whatever.
I think that is one of the most relatable feelings. Like, yeah. I think we all can try to put up a front of like, I don't care about like the mean comments or this
totally,
or that.
I try to like, not care, but
we care.
At the same time, it's like, yeah,
we're humans.
I want love from people,
right?
You know?
And you want people to understand you because like, I can tell you have such a good heart that like, it's a difficult balance of like people seeing things online and then you're like, I can't run to defend myself every moment.
No,
but it
not
is
at all.
Tough when you are being perceived in a way that you're like, that's not accurate. That's infuriating.
It is. It is. There's a lot of surrender. Like you have to really let go.
If you're spicing it up with lingerie, what color are you wearing?
Ooh, I think black.
Mm-hmm. Morning sex or night sex?
I honestly love morning sex.
Mm-hmm.
I like both, but there's, and my favorite is actually like, I love like an afternoon vibe because it feels so like European. It feels so like you're like not working and it feels like so primal in a way. Like I don't have to work.
Right.
The let's just like, out. Let's just like eat fruit and like, and coitus.
I love you. It's so good. If you're going home with someone, are you going back to his or is he coming to yours?
I prefer him coming back to mine for sure.
Biggest turn off in the bedroom.
I don't like silence and like just like no passion.
Yes.
I need like
going through the motions.
You're I hate going through the motions. I'm like, why are we even doing this?
Right. Why aren't we like making eye contact? Why aren't we making out? Like,
why are you saying things to me? Like, let's like, you know what I mean?
Yes, I get it.
Yeah. To me, I'm like, I would rather not have this.
Favorite sex position?
It depends on the vibe and it depends on the energy of whatever's happening in that moment. Like there's like in love sex and then there's like kind of freaky vibes.
Yes. I get it.
You know?
I get
it. So I think different strokes for different times.
I get it. Okay.
Literally.
I gotta ask what your opinion is on getting back with an ex.
This episode is brought to you by MGM. Daddy gang, if you've ever seen the trailer for the movie Challengers, especially that one hot, steamy hotel room scene, you know that this is a movie you do not want to miss, okay? Challengers stars the one and only Zendaya, and this has got to be the sexiest, most powerful role she's ever done. She stars as a tennis prodigy turned coach who has former best friends, played by Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor, under her spell. It's sexy, dramatic, intense, and you need to see it as soon as it comes out. See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life. And I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them. So I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required.
I gotta ask what your opinion is on getting back with an ex.
I'm personally, I think it's known, I'm a fan. I support it. Supported it in the past.
Cheers.
Cheers. What about you?
I think it's so, I personally think it's helpful.
It's helpful because I am not a person, you can't forbid things from me because I will want to do it more.
Yes.
If I tell myself, some of my friends are really good at that. They're like, well, I'm not going to text him because blah, 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 blah. I'm not like that. I'm like, if I want to text him, I'm going to text him.
I agree. I completely agree. You know? I've gotten back with exes. Even if I know it's not going to work, sometimes you need that closure.
You need to know that it's not going to
work. And it needs to be on your terms.
And then you need to be over it. Mm-hmm. And you need to be like, I did it. And I know.
Okay, so I have to just say it.
Yes, sure. Fuck it.
Okay, so it looked to the world like you and your ex, Shawn Mendes, kind of like dabbled with the idea of getting back together about a year ago.
Yeah.
What was going on?
You know, I think it's like what we were just talking about. Like,
you're just like,
Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy because I just like, I'm kind of like impulsive in that way, mm-hmm. I would say. Like, I feel like if I feel it, I say it.
Yeah.
And I'm not really good at not doing that, like I said, because then the worst place for it to live in is my mind.
Totally.
And then I'm like, you know, Ryan Gosling in The Notebook building a house for this person. So I would rather say it and, you know, see what happens and then wake up the next day and find out that it's been heavily documented. I just like went, I opted for that route, but you know, it is what it is. It was a great route. It was a fun time. It was a fun moment. And you know, and I will always care about him and love him. He's such a good person.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky, you know, cause some people have exes that are awful and you know, and he is not, he's a really kind, good person.
When you rekindle something with an ex, I've done it myself. I find, and I don't know if this is for you, I find the second breakup is always a little bit easier than the first initial. 100%. Because it's kind of already been over.
Yes.
Then you try to rekindle again. Yes. How did you guys make this huge decision to be like, okay, we're moving on?
I think it was just like, it wasn't even like a decision. I think you just kind of are like, yeah, this doesn't really, it's not a fit. It doesn't feel right. And I think luckily, you know, I was in a place in my life where it took me less time. Yep. To realize that, like, it took us both less time, mm-hmm. like, to be like, this doesn't feel right. And we don't really need to, like, try so hard to, like, make it work. Like, it's all good. Like, this is not feeling good. Like, let's be friends. I love you. Mm-hmm. I love you. It's all good. Let's move on. You go do your thing. You go do mine. Mm-hmm. Become the person that, you know, that you're becoming. And I'll root for you. And that's it, you know?
Getting back with an ex for a moment, it is sometimes helpful because it makes the first sting less hurtful because you kind of relived it for a second. You're like, check, still not right. We can kind of now like fade off and be like, it wasn't what we wanted. And that's okay. You know?
Yeah. And I think the worst thing that you can live with is like a what if or a doubt.
What is your take on the idea of right person, wrong time?
Wow, that's a great question. I don't think that there is such thing. I feel like if it's the wrong time, it's not right. It doesn't matter if it's, I think right person, wrong time is still a way of keeping yourself tied to the person. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like right job, wrong time. It's the wrong job.
Yeah, so So true.
You know?
So true.
Like, it's like...
when you say it like that.
You know?
No, you're right.
There's just no such thing. Like, I feel like... I feel like if it's the wrong time and that makes it a person that's...
Yeah.
I love, like, just the simplicity of, like, it sounds so clinical and non-romantic, but, like, it's just not a fit.
Like, when I met Matt, I was like... this isn't the right time. Like, I really wasn't looking for a relationship, and I really didn't want a relationship when I met Matt. I was like, fuck. But we made it work.
There's no such thing.
He was the right person.
Because there's no such, I feel like there's no such thing really. I mean, maybe there is such thing as, maybe wrong time could be classified as like long distance or you're going away or whatever.
But still.
But then in that case, it's not right.
Right, right. Like, if,
period.
If it's right person, you will find a way to make it work.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
100%.
What do you personally think is the most difficult aspect from past experience of like going through a breakup?
I think it's like the, like a long-term breakup.
Yeah.
I think it's like the, it's really just like the like, where does the love go vibe? You know, like you have so much like care and love for this person, and it just, it really does feel, luckily, up to this point in my life, I haven't experienced loss, like real loss. Yeah. But it feels like loss, but that person is just still out there. And it takes your own restraint, reminding yourself why it's not the right thing to like keep you away from texting that person or whatever. And also, it's like feels very out of your control, because sometimes it's like, I wanted it to be this person so bad. Like, I wanted it to be, but it's not. And that feels really hard to let go. Yeah. Like, to be like, I really wanted this to be it. But the fact that it's not, that I can't make this person who I wanted them to be.
It's tough.
It's really tough. Like, you really, it really feels like a, you can't always get what you want kind of thing.
I do kind of love how you said that, though. It's so true of, like, where does love go? When I'm thinking of, like, what would my answer have been? I'm, like, kind of similar where you're, like, how did we love each other so much?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not going to work. And we know the reasons it's not working.
Yeah.
But, like, we loved each other so much. Like, how do we just, like, float away from each other and, like, that's it?
Yeah, it's like, where does the energy go?
Right.
I find, like, it was so funny after, like, there's been breakups where after I'm like, I tell my best friends, I'm like, can I just like hold your hand more and like be more like touchy with you? Because that's like a big love language for me, as you've probably seen in videos, is like touch, physical touch. And even like the touch starvation after. Yeah. And you know what I mean? It is really hard.
Totally.
Like, I'm like, can we just hold hands?
Right.
Like,
that's when it gets tricky, when you go through a breakup of like, do I miss him or do I miss the things that came with having someone that I was in love with? And that's really hard to discern of like, I miss my a best friend. I miss someone that's like going to hold me and like hold my hand.
And it's usually that I think for me in the past.
I agree.
You know, and that's where you really have to be like, I didn't get what I wanted.
True.
I really wanted this person to be this. I really wanted us to be this, but
it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
For all the girls listening, I'm curious if you have any advice. I've been through it. I think social media makes it so much fucking worse. How do you handle from past shit of like when you know you and your ex are moving on at different paces? How the
fuck? Oh my God,
fuck,
it's the worst.
Oh, I'm like, I be out here fucking stalking bitches.
It's
I'm
torture,
like, it's just like, how do you handle it? I don't even know if you have advice. Like,
I really think it's like, I have been an absolute psycho. Absolute psycho.
I love you for admitting that. Because aren't we all?
And honestly, even worse when I was younger. When I was younger, I would be dating a guy and like stalking his ex.
Camila.
I'd be like, what is wrong with me?
Everyone raise your hand
in
this room.
I still, honestly, I definitely like.
We all do
it. It's been a while
it.
Since I've been in like a long-term relationship. But God, I was like, he's like telling me he loves me. And meanwhile, I'm torturing myself over somebody like. He's not even with anymore. It's like so crazy.
It's so hard.
The torture. I think like my advice would be, I've gotten better at this, is like, I'm a big like mindfulness, like kind of Buddhist practitioner person. Not practitioner person. That sounds
you're
so fucking
a
weird. I know. Like what? but I think like self-compassion is really important when it comes to that stuff. It's like, I could do something that's going to really hurt me, or I can put the phone down.
So fucking hard.
It's really hard, but you almost have to do it out of kindness for yourself.
And I think, like, giving ourselves grace, like, it is normal to want to be interested in that shit. Like, of I think it's so annoying when people are like, oh my God, you like stalk your ex. It's like,
oh, fuck you.
It's literally fuck you. It's like, if this person was in your bed, you used to have sex, you were intimate, you were in love. Like, of course there's moments where you're like eating a French fry one day and you're like, oh, what is he up to? It's like, natural. Just like you're wondering what fucking kids from middle school are up to and you go on Facebook to look it up.
Oh my God. Like, also, like, the people that don't admit that, I'm like, oh, please, like, you're not fun to talk to. Like, where is your, like, fucked up human side?
We're crazy.
Let us
be crazy. Breakup sex. Are you a proponent? Has it helped you in the past? Does it ruin things for you?
So what does breakup sex mean?
Like, you're like, this is over.
Oh.
But.
Yeah.
And then you do it one more time.
Yeah, of course.
And, like, have you found it makes it more messy? Or is it more like, okay.
I feel like if you're wanting to have breakup sex, you're probably gonna hit each other up next week. Like, there's still something there, you know? And like I said, I'm sorry, I'm a proponent. Like, I don't believe in the forbidden fruit. If you want it, do it. Kind of like date them till you hate them vibe. I don't actually hate anybody.
Yes.
But I'm saying do it until it's out of your system. And my friends really don't agree with this. They're like, you're an idiot and we hate you and don't ask me for advice anymore because I'm sick of you. But it's been helpful for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I also think the hard part is, like, sometimes you do waste some time in that way. Like, you, like, are still entertaining something and maybe there could be somebody out there that's better.
I think the point to close out the dating chapter is, like,
yeah,
everybody that's listening, like, don't feel shame if you go back to an ex.
No.
But protect yourself in those moments of just knowing, like, what – there could be an end date. And just, like, just be okay with that. And maybe there's not an end date. Maybe you guys are going to stay together forever. I think it's just, like –
and know why. Know why.
Yeah.
You still keep going back. Is it the sex? Is it the chemistry? Is it
– the emotional connection.
Is it your self-esteem? Is it whatever? Because I think, like – one thing that I feel like I'm always trying to do, and I'm not trying to, whatever, I'm not trying to sound preachy, is like, I feel like always doing the inner work and inner questioning of, like, why am I doing, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And if you still want to do it, do it.
Totally.
But just know
why you're doing
why it. Why you're doing it. Like, what you're getting out of it.
Your new music is on the way, which everyone is freaking out about.
Did you hear it?
I did. So I was at the hairdresser and I'm like, where do I listen to this? And I'm holding it up to my ear. And I'm listening also, like, me obviously interviewing you. I was, like, trying to listen to the lyrics.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is she trying to say?
By the way, which I love.
It's so good.
Thank you.
It's everything. Because it's so fucking raw and it's so fucking real. And I wanted to ask you just, like, what has it meant to you in the writing process and everything?
Yeah. Well, I think this is, like, my – I love this quote by this poet, Rainer Maria Rilke, that's, like, live your questions.
Okay. Oh.
Have you ever heard of that?
Wait, no, I love
that. I read this book. It was actually in COVID time, and it's called Letters to a Young Poet. And there's this poet that's asking him, like, he has so many questions, and I think he's, like, probably in his 20s. And he's, like, the one advice I can give you is to live your questions. And I feel like this was my Live My Questions album, Live My Questions chapter. And it's, like, very really, like, sitting in the discomfort of things and realizing there's not going to be a neat in a box answer. It's like, I feel strong in these ways, weak in this ways. And there's no real clear answer here. But yeah, like, the album process has been, like, such a journey. And, you know, it started off with me really having that intention of going back to how it started for me, which is just, like, you know, sitting with myself and, you know, really, like, getting back to that first, like, passion of songwriting and, you know, like, nerding out over references and artists and poetry and whatever, and really tapping into that. And then finding the collaborators that would really help me. I worked with, like, this amazing producer named Pablo El Guincho. And he really championed that for me. And whenever I would get kind of nervous or doubtful about, like, you know, should we bring any other co-writers in the room or whatever? He'd be like, no, this sounds like you got this and we got this. And, you know, we can do it. And he brought in Jasper Harris, and the three of us kind of like made this whole project. And it turned into like, I'm excited for you to hear the whole album, because it really is like kind of almost turned into like this very like solidified songwriter voice for me that became kind of like a persona and a world.
Oh, wow.
Which is the first time I've really done that with an album where it's like has its own kind of color palette and mood and aesthetic and sonic vibe. And, you know, it's like very, it became kind of like its own world. And then obviously, like, you know, the people that I'm like a huge fan of, like, there were so many artists that kind of came in, and, you know, it's just been like so fun and amazing.
I'm so excited for you, because when I just read some of the lyrics, it feels like we're actually just like inside your brain, like reading your diary almost in a way. And I love how so much of it felt, you're right, of like this back and forth of like where your brain goes when you're in the middle of situations. And it felt so real. And like when I was reading it, I'm like, oh my God, I've experienced this in my life before too. It was very relatable, but the way that you were able to articulate it was just fabulous. And I think so many women specifically, I think, are going to be like, you're speaking from my experience. Yes, I've loved this, and it's really cool.
It's also really cool because like the album aesthetically and even like so many of the themes in terms of it, it's like, you know, there's a lot of like lip gloss and nails and whatever. It's like very hyper femme.
Yes.
Which is so fun, because it's like I feel like I'm really tapping into the fun of like the feminine experience and sensuality, and like even like the things that we do, like the you know, like all those like different
the hair. No, it's so good. And I'm so excited personally to hear the whole thing, but I'm excited.
I can't wait.
Because I think people, the beauty of conversations like this is like, I haven't really seen you like this online. We're like,
I know.
You really are like our girlfriends. Like, I feel like we're all friends with you now, and I get you. And you just feel like someone that is very like relatable.
Well, that's why I wanted to do this podcast too, because I was like, I feel like it's like very for the girls. And I feel like my album is like very like for the girls. And also like so much of it was like is so much of me and who I am is inspired by my friends. And you know what I mean? And like that dynamic, and like, you know, drinking wine and talking about like whatever the worst sex you've ever had. Like,
literally.
That's like, you know, that's very.
That's life.
That's life.
That
that's the
life.
Best part of life.
What message do you hope fans take away from this album when it comes out?
Ooh, that's a great question. I really think it's live your questions. And I would add a bonus to that is I think it's like really embracing the playfulness of it, like the playfulness of being alive, of being a girl. And I think that's honestly why so much of this album has themes like, I don't know, like sex or whatever, is because it's playful. And
it's playful and it's hot.
It's hot. And being hot is fun.
Yeah. Like some of the lyrics, I was like, oh, Camila. Like, Camila. Let's go.
Well, I think it's like just like this spirit of, I think, freedom. Mm-hmm. And like just like ownership, and really just like owning your fucking life, and I don't know, just like fucking being free and being you.
I am so excited for you. The Daddy Gang will support you the minute this comes out. And
oh, Daddy Gang,
I can't thank Father you enough Cooper. For sitting down. I know that you don't do this often, and like you're a fucking pro. I could do this with you all day.
Well, me too. And I knew that it would happen like that, because I really was like, I was listening to your stuff and I was like, oh, this is a girl that like I would be friends with, you know? But thank you for real for making me feel so comfortable.
Of course.
You're so kind. And
I love you.
And I love this wine, and I love you too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're the best.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.